In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Today we're looking at the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. But this first part, I'm going to spend some time now developing a notion. Today I'm just going to lay down the notion of the relationship between the Eucharist and the Word. We've already looked at that famous text in Verbum Domini 56, so I'm going to start with it again, but I'm going to read the whole thing this time and then work from there. The notion is this, that the Word is food and the Eucharist is a Word. And there is a physical presence of the Word, Jesus, in his physicality, in the Eucharist. But there's a mysterious presence of Christ in the preached Word. And that's why it has a unique efficacy, the Word at the liturgy. Now that doesn't detract from reading the Word by ourselves. But when we do that, we're never separated from the community. If we are, we're out of luck, because we've just cut ourselves off from the whole flow of grace that courses through the body of Christ. And the closer we get to the heart of the body of Christ, the closer we are to the saints who are alive, where it's coursing like violently through them. It's so beautiful. And so it's all part of the body. Now, this is number 56 in Verbum Domini, but I'm going to read more than I have before, because we're going to need it to look at some of the other texts. And this is the beginning of a reflection I want to do to help us understand, regain an understanding that has been lost. All right. It starts off, reflection on the performative character of the Word of God in the sacramental action, and a growing appreciation of the relationship between Word and Eucharist lead to yet another significant theme which emerged during the Synodal Assembly, that is the Synod on the Word. That is, the theme that emerged was the sacramentality of the Word. Now, performative character of the Word, that's a term, it comes from linguistics. Words that bring about what they signify. In the sacraments, I baptize you is a performative word. But outside, and there, all it requires is the command of Christ and the environment of faith. Outside of those texts, there are societal norms which make other expressions performative. I now pronounce you man and wife. Now they're married. Or I christen you the battleship of Potemkin, or the ocean liners, Elizabeth, or something, Queen Elizabeth. It's done. Something happens. Those utterances perform something. As I say, in one level, the performance is the work of God. I baptize you in the name. I don't baptize you. Christ baptizes you. And that's why it's efficacious. Augustine trying to point that out to the Donatists. The Donatists were people who said anybody who fell away during the persecution and wants to come back now into the church has got to be rebaptized. And Augustine said, no way. The baptism is always there. It's left its mark. It's there. And they were having, that was the big argument, you see. And so, see, that I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, accedit verbum ad elementum et fit sacramentum. That's Augustine's phrase. The word comes to the element, this water poured, or water into which you're plunged, you see? That's the elementum. The verbum comes to the elementum, and together they make the sacramentum. So there's a performative quality to that word there, supernaturally given by the decree of Christ. I christen you Queen Elizabeth's ship. That's because of societal acceptation. Anybody who's in a ceremony and breaks the bottle across the bow and pronounces the name of the ship, that's the name of the ship. Or in a civil wedding, I now pronounce you man and wife. And civilly, that's recognized now. So you see what performative means. It means in one way or another, it brings about what it states, what it bears, what it expresses. So, reflection on the performative character of the Word of God in the sacramental action, and a growing appreciation of the relationship between Word and Eucharist. Huh? In the Eucharist, this is my body, this is my blood. Now what about the Word and the Eucharist? Lead yet to yet another significant theme which emerged during the Synodal Assembly, that of the sacramentality of the Word. Now this is Pope Benedict speaking, writing. Here it may help to recall that Pope John Paul II had made reference to the, quote, sacramental character of Revelation, and in particular to the sign of the Eucharist, in which the indissoluble unity between the signifier and the signified makes it possible to grasp the depths of the mystery. You see what's happening? We're recovering a Christian vision of reality. We've always talked about the sacraments, in fact, what they signify. But this whole idea that the Word of God is performative, obvious in the sacraments, but also present in an analogous way in the Scriptures, especially as preached. And so the text goes on. We come to see that signifier and signified make it possible to grasp the depth of the mystery. The signifier is the water and the word. The signified is that now the person's baptized into the life of Christ, into the life of the Trinity. The Pope goes on, we come to see that at the heart of the sacramentality of the Word of God is the mystery of the Incarnation itself. Then there's a quote. The Word became flesh. The reality of the revealed mystery is offered to us in the flesh of His Son. That's how we see Him. See, the Word became flesh. The foundation of the ancient sacramental, the Old Testament sacramental system, which was also, they were sacramenta of another time. But you know, I'm parting from my thought for a moment because it's so important. Aquinas, see, calls those rituals the sacramenta, veteris legis. Huh? They are the sacramenta, the sacraments of the old law. And he said that those who practiced them with faith, you see, were brought to the same place that we're brought. It's amazing, isn't it? And he bases himself on a principle in Aristotle, in his treatise on memory and recall, that the movement of the spirit toward an image terminates in the imaged, so that our fathers, when they were circumcising and offering the Paschal Lamb and the other rituals that were sacramenta, you see, they were all pointing forward to Christ. Therefore, that movement of faith in our fathers in the Old Testament didn't stop at the Old Testament symbolic anticipation, but went right through to the reality that is signified in the New Testament. And therefore, Aquinas says, so they lived by the same grace that we have. Isn't that astonishing? You see how we have to recover this notion of signifying before we can grasp Next time, remember to give you the quote. It's in the Summa and the Prima Secundae, 171, I think. But it's in there somewhere. And we're talking about the old law. Okay, I want to go on with the Pope. The reality of the revealed mystery is offered to us in the flesh of the Son. The Word of God can be perceived through by faith through the sign of human words and actions, even in the Old Covenant. Faith acknowledges God's Word by accepting the words and actions by which He makes Himself known to us. The sacramental character of revelation points in turn to the history of salvation, to the way that the Word of God enters time and space and speaks to men and women who are called to accept His gift. The Word is speaking in the Scriptures, in the sacramental gestures, in the Mass. You see? Okay, now, there's another text I want to read. This is, it's alluded to or mentioned by the Pope. It's the Synod on the Word draws up its own document at the end, as you know. And this is Propositio 7. The Word of God is made sacramental flesh in the Eucharistic event, and leads Scripture to its fulfillment. The Eucharist is a hermeneutic principle of sacred Scripture, as sacred Scripture illumines and explains the Eucharistic mystery. In this sense, the Synodal Fathers hope that a theological reflection on the sacramentality of the Word might be promoted. Without the recognition of the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist, the intelligence or understanding of sacred Scripture remains unfulfilled. That's very profound. We're growing back into something, and I want to spend some time on it, this notion of the sacramentality of the Word. I want to give, I have just about time to read another text. This is from John Paul II, and it's in his encyclical Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason, number 13. In a sense, then, we are returned to the sacramental basis of revelation, and expressly to the Eucharistic sign, wherein the indivisible unity between the reality itself and its signification permits us to grasp the depth of the mystery. In the Eucharist, the present and living Christ is really there, working with His Spirit. Yet, as St. Thomas wrote so well, quote, a lively faith beyond the power of the human mind confirms what you can neither grasp nor see. Beneath different appearances, signs and not things, wondrous truths lie hidden. That's from the Sequentia, the sequence for Corpus Christi. The same point, now the Pope goes on, the same point is made by the philosopher Blaise Pascal, and here's a quote from Pascal. Quote, as Christ was unknown among men and women, so too the truth about Him remains among familiar modes of thought without any external distinction. We think about Him like we think about everything else, and if we're not suffused by faith and sharp, it's just another object of thought. It's not the living God. Okay. He goes on then. So too, just as our thinking about Christ can be just like any ordinary thinking, so too the Eucharist remains remains among common bread. The Eucharist is there. Huh? When I'm celebrating the Eucharist, I have bread on the altar. I repeat the words of institution, and it's the body and blood of Christ. The bread over at on the credence table is not the body and blood of Christ. It's this that's the body and blood of Christ. That's also the scandal of particularity. But we're finished. We're going to continue thinking about this for quite a few more weeks, I hope. But it's the sacramentality of the Word.